with Mom and I, you don't have to agree with us, but you're never going to disrespect us. I will not tolerate disrespect out of any of them right now, and they know it. It's fine to disagree with them. And no law says people have to agree with me. If there is, it's not being enforced, please. And I'm going to say this among God's people. I would to God that all of us would recognize that we've got a right to disagree from time to time, but God forbid that we ever disrespect each other. But be that tonight. I recognize that when I get around some people and I see the problem they've had with their daughters, I'm not really thankful for mine. I'm going to leave that with you. There's many people tonight in this selfish world that might tell you they're thankful, but they're not. They've had no experience in being thankful. I can think of another reason sometimes why folks aren't thankful for what they have. Because many times in this life, people are presented with a gift. And that gift is of great value to the one who gave it. But it's of no value to the one who received it. Or the one who received it doesn't see the value of it. Now think about that a bit. And make a spiritual application, if you will. If we could ever recognize the great value of the gift God's given us, I suspect all of us would be more thankful. I can think of times I look back in life. We've all had these experiences. I remember back before my wife and I married. The first Christmas we were to ever be together. We was engaged all right. My wife, going to Lambeth College, Jackson, Tennessee, me way out in Texas. My wife picks what little spare money she has, and she picked out a sweater for me. Sort of comes up to here, you know. She was so excited about giving her little fiance that sweater. Well, I put it on. I pretended that I liked it, but I got news for you. I don't like stuff getting me up around here. That's one reason I preach with a tie down. I made out like she was so excited about that. It meant ever so much to me, and I tried to put on a show that I liked it, but it didn't mean as much to me as it did to her. And she claims to have a poor memory, but she remembers that one to this day. Now then, I think everybody in this congregation can think of times in your life when you presented somebody with a gift and it meant a lot to you, but it didn't have all that much value to them. I'll just move off of this right fast. I've learned as time goes by that I don't try to buy clothes for my wife. I don't try to buy this for my wife. Because usually it's the wrong size, it's the wrong this, it's the wrong something. And she's learned not to buy tools for me. You know, they usually made in Japan, or they usually, you know, something. I know a little something about what kind of tools I want. But we do manage somehow to get a gift for each other. But what I want you to see is this. Sometimes people are not thankful because they do not know the value of what's been given to them. How can they be thankful when they don't know the value of it? I bring my granddaughter Caitlin in. I bring her before you. She'll be four May 18th. She's not quite four. She's going on 10 in her mind. If I were to offer my granddaughter Caitlin a $100 bill in this hand and four shiny quarters over here, highly polished, take which you want. I don't know which one she'd grab. She'd take four shiny quarters. Because she doesn't know the value of this over here. The reason I know this, I haven't tried her on 100 yet. I don't get too many of those. I have tried her on 20. Somebody here, I'll put it to the test. You'll supply what it takes. But then I'll let you know how it comes out. I will let you know. I haven't said anything about sending your 100 back, but I will let you know how it comes out. But my friends, there are many things in this life that somebody could give me that I would not appreciate it because I don't know the value of it. There are people in this world that know valuable art when they see it. Doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, there are people in this world who say that's a Rembrandt, that's a Van Gogh, that thing is worth thousands of dollars. Every once in a while you read where somebody broke into a museum and they stole a painting worth $500,000. That wouldn't have any value to me. I just shouldn't have some picture came out of Kmart because I don't know anything about that stuff. There are people on Earth today that know the value of a Stradivarius violin. I find a lot of folks be just a fiddle. How in this world are you going to be thankful for something if you don't recognize the value of it? And there's none of us here tonight recognize the value of what Almighty God has done for us, or recognize the value of the kingdom that He's placed here, to recognize the value of His church. To be properly thankful, we need to study that book and find the value of what we have in our hands. The other reason I can think of that a lot of folks are unthankful. You're gonna find a lot of folks have got something and don't know they have it. Now, if you had something and didn't know you had it, how could you be thankful for it? You say, well, what are you talking about? I don't remember circumstances like that. Oh, yeah, you probably will if you rack your brain a bit. Oh, yeah. You may have a lot of things at home, don't know what you have. I was with a young preacher one time. I'm not throwing rocks to him. I don't mean that at all. I was a young preacher one time, and he says, I sometimes hear brethren say that word comes from such and such a Greek word or such and such a Hebrew word. And he says, what do you have to have to study those words? I looked over there. I said, well, you've got a strong concordance there. He said, yeah, but I don't know how to use it. I said, you've got what you need to get started right there. He said, I don't know how to use it. Now, I'm not throwing rocks at him. Somebody had to show me how. He didn't know what he had. Somebody had given him that. He thought they'd just given him a big, heavy, thick book that if you want to find how many times the word nine or eternity is in the Bible, that's all it's good for. I told him, I said, you see these reference numbers over here? These little reference numbers? Man, he was so happy. He just sat there and he began to run things out. He was so happy. He had something there and didn't know how valuable it was to him because he didn't know how to use it. He had something and really didn't know he had it. And my friends, there are multitudes of God's people in this world today that have something. And they don't know what they have. That's why I'm trying to preach the gospel. That's why this man's trying to preach the gospel. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. And the Apostle Paul speaks of the power of God. And he says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Yeah.
You know what the gospel's for? It's to bring life and immortality to light. It's to show people what they have. And there's a lot of God's people who are not thankful for what the Lord's done for them because they've got something and they don't know they have it. The Apostle Paul wrote those Colossians chapter 1, and he told them how they had rejoiced since the day that they had known the grace of God in truth. Now there's many, many of God's people have got the grace of God in their hearts because they've been born of the Spirit. But they don't have the grace of God in truth. Many years ago, long before my day, there was an able Primitive Baptist black man in Texas, Oklahoma. I knew some elders. I've heard him many times. Elder Overcummings told me a lot about him. Brother Cummings dates back a long way. Elder Old Strickland, M.W. Smith. You knew some of those men. But I used to hear some of those old brethren talk about an old Elder Hornback, black preacher and very able man. Elder Hornback dated back so far that he was born under slavery. That is, he was a small boy just before they set the slaves free. And he used to get up and get on the fourth chapter of Galatians, where it says, I tell you in Galatians chapter 4, that Abraham had two sons, one by a free woman and the other by a bond woman. And he could draw tears and people would shout because he'd say, I know what it is by experience to be the son of a bond woman. He said, I was born in slavery. He said, I did nothing to get into that slavery. I was born in it. I was a slave because my parents were slaves. And he said, all of you like me were born in sin. You know why you were sinners? Because your parents were sinners. I was a slave because my parents were slaves. I was born in it. And he'd go on to preach, and he'd say, men of a higher and nobler race fought a bloody civil war and shed their blood to set me free. And he said, there was another time when one of a higher and nobler order came down from heaven and died on the cross to set me free from the sin I was born in. Some men fought a bloody civil war to set him free from the natural slavery. And another came and died and shed his blood to set him free from the slavery of sin. But he said, I didn't know I was free. Said, there's a man named Abraham Lincoln signed an Emancipation Proclamation. And said, messengers came to the plantation where my folks live. And those messengers came in there and began to tell us we were free. And he said, we believe we were free, but that didn't make us free. We was already free because Mr. Lincoln done signed the Emancipation Proclamation. He said, we're free whether we believe it or not. But he told how he rejoiced at that news, and he did draw a parallel. He said, Jesus Christ died to set his people free from the bondage of sin. And said he raised up these preachers to come out and proclaim to you the Emancipation Proclamation. And he says, some of God's people, when they hear it, believe it, and some don't believe it. And said, them believing it's not what made it so, and those not believing it doesn't make it not so. But he says, those that believe it are happy and rejoiced. And those that don't believe it go on in their bondage, in their minds, that is. There's a lot of people in this world aren't thankful because they have something and they don't know they've got it. And they'll never be thankful until they recognize they've got it. I used to hear some of the elders in my home country, they knew this by experience. This is not a made-up story. This actually happened. I could produce some elders tonight, give you the names and places. Number of years ago, a young man lived with his mom, and he began to ask about his daddy. Turned out mom and daddy broke up way back yonder before he had any knowledge of it. Mom and daddy had him separated for some reason or other. He didn't know his daddy. This boy was very bitter. He hated the daddy he never knew. He's very bitter because he had to be raised up sort of as an orphan. Of course, the word today be single parent, you know, but be that way. Grew up with no father because father and mother had split and deserted something happened back there. And the boy bounced from pillar to post. And once upon a time, according to actual case, a young man was in an oil field in South Texas doing the very lowest work you can do in an oil field. Covered with grease, covered with oil, working for the lowest wages that you could draw, taking orders from cruel tool pushers and other roughnecks. He's the lowest man out there, living in mud and oil. And one day some men came up, began to ask him who he was. They'd been hunting for him for years. He didn't want to talk to him. He was so bitter, they didn't want to talk to him. They said, you need to talk to us. I said, you own this oil field. Turned out his father was an immensely wealthy man. Turned out just before his daddy died, his daddy had yearnings for that boy that he deserted the boy and his mama. And he left everything he had to that boy. That's a true story. That fellow was out there in mud and grease and oil being abused by people that actually worked for him and he didn't know it. They said, you own this. You say, I never heard anything like that. I'd tell something just about like that pertaining to you.
Yes, sir.
when you consider what kind of family God's people belong to, and you say, well, I'm out in this world taking abuse, and I'm out here and all that, just remember this, that God's people are going to inherit all things.
Amen.
We're heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, that ought to make people happy. You know why it doesn't make most people happy? They don't know what they've got. Now then, I'm going to give you another reason why a lot of people in the world in which I live, because one of the signs of the last days is people be unthankful. I'm going to give you another quick reason why a lot of people are going around today unthankful. People are not thankful for something they've got that they think they deserve and work for. You caught that? I work hard for something. I work real hard for something. I put in my time, I put in my sweat, and now I've got it. You thankful for that? You folks make a habit after you put in your 40 hours, your 60 hours, whatever, and you put in your time, your sweat, your labor, work at Reynolds, whatever you do, you put in your time. You make a habit of going up to those folks and, I love you, I'm so grateful, you mean everything in the world to me, you make a habit of doing that. People are not usually thankful for what they think they really deserve. Here's something I really deserve. I want to apply that spiritually. Since I know tonight that I do not deserve a hope in Christ, I don't deserve a hope in heaven, and I'm not going to live there by my works. It's entirely by the mercy and the free grace of God. I know for sure that people who believe in free grace and grace alone are both thankful for their salvation. Than folks that think that they really deserve it. That's right. I've been around a lot of folks like that. I know I'm more thankful than they are. Because I've had people in conversation with me make statements like this. I've never broke a commandment. I've done this. I've done that. I've done that. I've done that. I've done that. They're not as thankful. They're not as thankful for their salvation or whatever they want to call it as I am for mine. Because they really think they deserve it. Now I want to point you right quickly to the unthankfulness of the American people. While back during the election, I was watching public TV one night, and here was a real brilliant man, had a thing drawn circle, here's a circle, supposed to represent the national debt, you know, like a pie, and showing where your tax money's going, the budget. Kind of like know where your money goes, don't you? Okay. Here's the budget, and here's how the government's spending your money. I sat there and looked at the thing. I studied very carefully. And this gentleman that was explaining this thing, he says, it looks like a pie, and here's over half of it. He said, over half of the budget goes on entitlements. I said to myself, entitlements? That's new to me. What's that mean? You may have heard that before. I haven't heard it before. There's a lot of terms coming out today I don't quite understand. What we used to refer to as taxes, politicians today are calling that my contribution. You better have your contribution ready by April 15th. I always thought it's my taxes, but I've been hearing, I'm not going to name them, I'm not going to call names, but I've been hearing politicians lately making speeches to the American people, and they refer to increasing your contribution, your contribution, your contribution. It's still taxes. Also, the taxes that I pay, I'm hearing politicians call that investing in America. Okay, now that I'm getting used to making a contribution instead of paying taxes, now that I'm getting used to investing in America, you know, instead of paying taxes, I'm sitting here and they're saying over half of it goes on entitlements. I thought, what's that? They began to explain what entitlements is. I thought, that's what we used to call welfare. You know, we used to have an agency called Health, Education, and Welfare. I think it's been renamed. Folks don't like to go around and say, I'm on welfare. Now, back when we had Health, Education, and Welfare, I suppose they ought to rename it because it ain't educational. It ain't healthy. It ain't educational. Ain't well. Ain't fair. But be that as it may, he's beginning to talk about entitlements. Over half of that budget's going on entitlements. Now, I want you to think about that word just a little bit. An entitlement is something I'm entitled to. Entitled. Entitled to. That's one of the biggest things wrong with people in our nation today. We think we're entitled to everything. I thought, what all does entitlements include? Well, of course he took up Social Security. Now hold on, I'm not about to attack your Social Security. You say, now wait a minute. I paid into that thing and I'm entitled to what I get out of it. Just a minute. They have proven that people today that are drawing out of it, it only takes 3 years to draw out what you put in. That's right. You've done the first 3 years drawing out what you put in. After that, you're drawing out what I'm putting in now and what your children putting in, your grandchildren are putting in. If somebody questioned that, that's done been established. Just a few years ago, you know, the limit was less than what a lot of people draw a day in a month. My wife's father died lately past 99. He drew it 34 years. They lost on him. I'm not a pith on rocks of Social Security. One of these days, if the world continues and I'm still living, I'll be standing in the line wanting my part of what I'm entitled to. I'm not quite old enough yet. A few days ago, I was riding the bus to Memphis, Tennessee, to be with my wife and mother-in-law. She's been there since her dad died. There's a fellow sitting next to me on the bus, asked me about my age. I told him how old it was. He said, oh, you're about my age. I said, too young for Medicare and too old for women to care. I said, well, my wife cares, and that's all that matters to me. I never heard it put that way before. But I am too young for Medicare. But it won't be very long, the way things are going. I'll be standing in line, and so I'm not throwing rocks at Social Security. But what I'm hammering on tonight is looking at it as an entitlement.
Yeah.
Also under entitlements, we have folks who think the government ought to feed them for free. They're entitled to be fed. Other folks that think that if they get out here and wreck their lives on drugs, if they get out here and wreck their health, drinking liquor, and they get sick, they're entitled to free medical care. Okay, here's a long list of entitlements. I want that to sink in. I say tonight that people are not thankful for something they think they're entitled to. And if you want me to prove my case, I don't think you do. All you got to do is look out here in the streets of America, and you see people out here that your taxes are feeding them, your taxes are delivering their children, your taxes are supporting their terrible habits. Are they thankful?
No.
They're not thankful because they're entitled to it. You catch it? Entitled. Now, Brother Carpenter and I were watching a news show the other night, and a man asked the people in the audience, how many of you people in the audience think you're entitled, think you're entitled to receive free health care, food, you know, the right to move about, you're entitled, how many of you out there think you're entitled, in other words, to be fed, health care, any names of other things? How many people out here think you're entitled to that? Now, what that means is that the government ought to provide it. Let's get your hands up. What I want you to see tonight is this idea, this spirit that I'm entitled permeates our whole society. You have children coming up today. I'm entitled to everything that the other boys and girls up and down the street have. I'm entitled to the most expensive toys at Toys R Us. And when the time comes that I want a motorcycle, a Honda, anything the other children have got, I'm entitled to it. I'm entitled to a college education. I'm entitled to anything I want. And if I don't get it, you're low-down parents. Entitled to it. This spirit that we're entitled has produced an unthankful people. I stand up here and tell you tonight that I'm not entitled to anything, and neither are you. You know what God's Bible says? I find the Apostle Paul wrote those Thessalonians and said, this we commanded you while we were with you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
Right.
He did not say if any could not work. He said would not. Since I have a handicapped boy, since I know other people, I know there are people in this world who cannot work. I'm willing to take a portion of what I receive and try to help those who cannot work. But according to God's Bible, I'm under no obligation to feed those, help those who will not work.
Amen.
This we commanded you while we were with you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. When I hear people talking about that everybody in America is entitled to health, wealth, and the pursuit of the American way of life, that's not so.
No.
It reminds me of when I was a youngster, I go to the movie every once in a while on Saturday. I saw a cartoon a number of years ago. There's an old grasshopper named Jiminy Crickets. Jiminy Crickets was on a fence post and spitting his tobacco, saying, the world owes me a living. That's a spirit of entitlement. Entitlement. I tell you here tonight, you're entitled to nothing. I'm entitled to nothing. And everything that we receive on this earth is to be looked upon as a gift of Almighty God.
Amen.
Those are a few of the reasons we see so much unthankfulness in our world today. And when we recognize that when the prodigal son, I've got to quit here somewhere. I come to the 15th chapter of Luke. Bible says a certain man had two sons. I'm not going to go into all this. Just grab what I want. You know the rest of the lesson. Certain man had two sons. Luke chapter 15. One of those sons came to his father and says, give me my portion while you're living. I'm entitled to it. You see? I'm entitled to it. That young man goes out into a far country and gets in trouble. Got bad news for you tonight. You don't have to go to a far country to get in trouble. When I was raised up in the ranch country of southern Oklahoma and Texas, I used to hear my mother and the other women sometimes whispering about some country boy, sometimes it's a girl, usually a boy, some poor good old country boy or country girl that went way off to St. Louis or Dallas-Fort Worth, or you had to at least go to Oklahoma City. They went way off somewhere and they got into a lot of trouble. They got over there, you know, in the places of sin and got in trouble. I remember once upon a time when some of us folks, if we wanted to get in some real trouble, we had to go into a far country. You and your children don't have to go into the far country. Because that far country is right there when you press a knob. That far country is in most every magazine you pick up. That far country is right down at your schoolhouse. That far country is not a far country anymore. It's right up here with us. Okay, he goes down the far country, and he begins to get out here and have a big time. You know why? He's entitled to it, he thinks. And finally, when his money runs out and he hits the bottom, he remembers he's not entitled to anything. And when he heads back to his father's house, And the father sees him afar off and says, rejoice with me and make merry. Verses 24 and then verse 32. My son that was dead is alive again. He was lost and is found. He'd never been dead to the sonship. He'd never been dead to that relationship. Never ceased to be that man's son, but he died to the fellowship. You know what led to his downfall? He thought he's entitled to so much. Now that God's worked him over, now he's hit the bottom, he's coming back, I'm not entitled to anything. He comes back and he does not say, he does not come back and say, Father, I was the younger child and you always favored my brother. He doesn't come back and say, I was the middle child. And he doesn't come back saying, Father, I bought a book on birth order. They sell it. He's supposed to explain a whole lot about why you are what you are because you were first in the family or second or third. He didn't come back saying, Father, I have been unable to resolve my innate, innermost inner conflicts. And I need psychoanalysis. He didn't come back and say, you always loved my older brother more than you loved me. He didn't come back making any excuses, no excuses. He didn't come back saying, I'm entitled to anything. It was thinking he's entitled to something got him in trouble. He comes back and makes the simple statement, I have sinned.
Amen.
I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned before God and in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be called, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Oh, doesn't sound like he thinks he's entitled to much, does it?
No.
He says, make me as one of your hired servants. You know why he was thankful for what the Father did for him this time around? He didn't think he's entitled to anything. And the Bible tells us they began to be married. It doesn't tell us that merriment ended. That's the way the story ended. It says they began to be married. You know what that, what way that leaves that hanging? They began to be married. It doesn't say they were married for a while and it ended. It says they began to be married. Just sort of close it like it's still going on. And I tell you tonight, if all of us would get off of our little horses that we're entitled to so much and recognize we're not worthy of anything, we could begin to be merry in the house of God and be merry in this life.
Yes,
and I expect there wouldn't be any end to it until the Lord comes back. I thank you for your good attention. God bless you. Thank you.
277. The Lord has been so good to me. I want to sing His praise. I want to glorify His name. All my remaining days. The Lord has been so good to me. I will on Him you.
Blessed man.
peace and love. Soon I'll go and shall rest forevermore.
Yeah.